You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 20th of September 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it's a beautiful autumnal day where I am. I believe we have the vernal equinox coming up tomorrow. 12 hours of sunlight, 12 hours of darkness. It's a beautiful time of year. It's just nice to be alive and nice to be in Britain with the beautiful countryside that we have here. But as always, we have some news stories to get into today, and we're going to be looking again at what's going on in the schools, particularly the American schools, but it's going on in all the schools that white people go to in white countries, or previous white countries. Of course, they're now multicultural, which is the cause of so much friction, which is all down to our spokesmen in the government, our leaders in the establishment, who have seen fit to turn our countries into multicultural zones, which is not of any benefit to us, of course, and it's not of any benefit to the other peoples that come here either. Multiculturalism is no good for anyone, and that is specifically what we criticize here at Radio Albion. I don't want people to think that we are criticizing the other groups that come here in any way, because they would be foolish not to take us up on our invitation, because individually it might improve their situation at the individual level, but at the macro level, at the level of the nation, it doesn't do them any good to be coming here, because you end up with all the brightest people from the countries in Africa coming to Europe instead of helping to build the countries there. And even with white people as well, in Eastern Europe, there's a brain drain, and the brightest students end up leaving Eastern Europe and not building their countries up, places like Romania and Bulgaria. And then once you do get everybody all together, there may be an increase, say, in the individual circumstances of people that have come from the third world. But because you're then living amongst all different ethnicities, it means that your body doesn't produce the oxytocin that it should be producing. And you need oxytocin to bond with the people that are around you. And we only produce that hormone when we are around our own ethnicity. So you're basically setting yourself up for friction between the communities, between the ethnicities, between the different cultures when you have multiculturalism. And in order to try and cover this up, we have these speech laws which try to prevent people from talking about it. And we also have this cultural conflict that occurs within the schools, because one size does not fit all, which applies to just about everything. Last week we were talking about MRI scans and x-ray scans, and one size doesn't fit all. And when you're talking about clothing as well, one size doesn't fit all, because the different races have different proportions. And the way that you try to teach students, once again, one size does not fit all. If you're going to teach history, for instance, then there's going to be two opposing views on history. If you have two different ethnicities or more, at least there's going to be two different opposing views on history if you're trying to teach that. So you're not going to be able to teach a history that is beneficial to everybody without alienating some people. And of course, what we see going on today is that it's white people that are being alienated and told that their ancestors were the bad guys, in an attempt to try and build up the self-esteem of people that may not have much history written down for themselves. So that's just one instance of the friction that can arise in the schools. And there's also just the actual way that the pupils are being taught. And that's what's being highlighted here in this news story I want to get into today. A Virginia high school teacher has sparked outrage on social media after posting a TikTok video in which he argues that expecting students to behave, follow directions, and sit quietly is the definition of white supremacy. And people will look at that and they'll say, well, how absolutely ridiculous. If you can't learn to behave, if you can't learn to follow directions, then you're not really going to do very well at getting a job when you leave school, are you? But the point here is that there isn't any history of black Africans setting up their own schooling and developing ways to teach students because they never had a written language. So they do find it difficult to sit still and sit quietly. And this is just one of the things that happens. I mean, it's been known about for a long time in America. And because of this difficulty to sit still and this tendency to disrupt the class, there you end up with more black pupils being suspended or being expelled from school than the white pupils. And it's looked at as if, or it has been looked up until now, as if this was a deficit in the black students, and for some reason they just were behaving badly. And of course, what we will point out here at Radio Albion is that they are a different race, they are a different ethnicity. Why would we expect them to naturally want to sit still and to follow directions when there's no history of them doing that in their culture? So they're just doing what comes naturally to them. And the way that we're dealing with this now, of course, is to say, well, this is unacceptable that far more black pupils are being suspended or expelled than white pupils. So we have to just stop expelling them. We have to just stop suspending them. And of course, that means that you end up with a disruptive influence in the classroom. And the students there, the white students who have a tradition of sitting still and following directions and doing as they're told, they end up having their classrooms disrupted and they end up getting less exam results. So it doesn't help the black pupils. It doesn't help the white pupils. What would help them is if the schools were segregated. If the black pupils had black teachers, then the black teachers would understand the difficulty that the black students have with sitting still, and maybe they would develop ways of teaching them that were tailor-made to their ethnicity, instead of trying to get the square peg to fit into a round hole and say everybody should fit within this round hole. Well, where you've got square pegs, you've got triangular pegs, they don't all fit in the same hole. It would be much better to have a black teacher teaching a classroom full of black pupils than to have a mixed classroom and expect everybody to fit into the ways that we have developed as white people to teach, because with our schooling system, it has been developed to cater to white students. And what we're expecting to do now is to put all different ethnicities into the classroom and teach them. Again, you can look at the Chinese way of teaching. The Chinese are far more disciplined than white children are. And the way that they teach is tailor-made for people that will be even more regimented and even more obeying the rules than Europeans are likely to do. But in China, it's all tailor-made for the Chinese, isn't it? And this is why we see the Chinese doing so well. They do so well at everything, really, don't they? Do so well at sports, do so well at the Olympics, do so well at mathematics and science, because they will literally work for hours and hours and hours, and they'll do hours and hours of homework. And they have a culture that encourages that. Whereas when you look at black culture, their culture is different to that. And we can see this in the things that they particularly excel at, things like dancing, things like drumming, singing, running, jumping, all these sorts of things that white people can do as well, of course, but maybe we can't do as well. The ethnicities all have their own unique talents, and they all have their own weak points. And the problem with multiculturalism is you expect everybody to come up to the same standard. And when they don't come to the same standard, what we tend to do nowadays is blame white people for it and say, well, it's because white people are being racist, or because white people are keeping these other races down. It must be down to whites. And that gives the white students a sense of guilt. It tells them that they're no good. It tells them that their ancestors were no good. And instead of telling them that they should be setting a good example and they should be following in the footsteps of their ancestors, you're essentially saying, well, you might as well just commit suicide now because, you know, you're never going to be any good. Your ancestors weren't any good. So what makes you think you're going to be any good? It's not good to be teaching students that their grandparents were bad people. We should be telling them they were good people. And the criticism of this high school teacher is, of course, that he's saying, well, to sit still and follow directions is white supremacy. Well, it's not white supremacy, is it? But it is a European cultural norm that doesn't really exist in Africa. I should imagine they're used to being taught outside. And they're used to being taught when they feel like learning, possibly, instead of having to sit there and learn when they're told they need to learn. And as I pointed out, this is going to be disruptive to the white students who have to sit there alongside them. And they didn't always have to sit alongside them. I mean, it was Brown versus Board of Education in the 60s, I think it was, maybe in the late 50s. That basically said that the schools were now going to be mixed and they were going to bus the white children in so that they had to sit next to the black children, because there was this idea that if they did that, that would raise up the exam results of the black students and they would learn from the white students that were next to them. And of course, that didn't happen. It just lowered the standards for everyone. Particularly the white students. And what we see now is that the white working class, who should be up very high in the qualifications that they get because they have a high average IQ, don't forget, they have a higher average IQ than the black Africans and the Asians or the Pakistanis and the Indians, I should say, rather than Asians, because people get confused over whether that means Chinese or what have you. But basically, the prediction is if you have a high IQ, then you should get good qualifications. And those white working class students, their average IQ is going to be a high IQ. And yet they are being failed. They are some of the lowest achieving. In actual fact, they're now achieving lower than some of the black Africans are. And what that basically tells us is that their potential is not being fully made use of. And where they're in these mixed classrooms, I dare say there is a lot of disruption. And this proves it. But what this teacher is saying here, that it's the definition of white supremacy to expect children to sit still. Josh Thompson, an English teacher at Blacksburg High School in Montgomery County, specifically referred to his district's use of positive behavioural interventions and supports, PBIS, a model educators use to keep students focused and respectful in school. It is not clear how parents or students at the school are reacting to Thompson's video or if they have seen it, but many Twitter users are asking that the district address it, and some have even demanded that he be fired. In the since-deleted video, which was originally posted in May, Thompson says, "I stated that PBIS is white supremacy with a hug, and a lot of y'all wanted to know more about that. So if PBIS concerns itself with positive behaviours, we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what are those positive behaviours? And it's things like making sure that you are following directions and making sure that you are sitting quietly and that you are in your seat. And all of these things come from white culture." And he is correct there. And this is the problem of saying one size fits all and that everybody can conform to the same standards. He continues, "The idea of just sitting quiet and being told stuff and taking things in a passive stance is not a thing that is in many cultures. So if we are positively enforcing these behaviours, we are by extension positively enforcing elements of white culture, which therefore keeps whiteness at the centre, which is the definition of white supremacy." Well, here's the issue. Education and schooling has always been developed by whites, hasn't it? I mean, it started with the Greeks, it started with the Romans, continued on with the Saxons and on into Europe. And it was developed by us. So it was tailor-made for us. You wouldn't expect it to be tailor-made for these other cultures. And what we're trying to do now is we're trying to get these other cultures and these other peoples to fit in with essentially a civilization that was built by us, that was built by Europeans. And then when we discover that there are differences between us and them, we then say, well, it must be white supremacy. It's white people's fault because we somehow didn't develop our civilization for all these other peoples as well. Well, there was nothing stopping them from developing their own civilization. Perhaps they weren't interested in developing a civilization. Perhaps they were more interested in just day-to-day living, and they were quite happy to get along the way that they were getting along. They didn't ask for the white man to come and interfere and bring them his civilization. And of course, this is the reason why we have this moral imperative to actually help them now that we have interfered. But the way to help them is to help them within their own countries and to help them to develop their own countries at their own pace, rather than importing them into our countries where we then have these sorts of problems, where they have difficulty learning within the schools. And we end up putting so many resources into this. All our resources are targeted at trying to raise these standards of these pupils. And because all the resources are being diverted there, they're not being diverted to the pupils that are most likely to do well, which is the white pupils. They're being diverted to the group that are the least likely to do well. And our reasoning for that is, well, they get these low results, so we have to target them with the most resources. And it doesn't seem to enter people's minds that, well, perhaps the reason why they get these low results, what we should be addressing them as, is different results, because they are a different people. Form is connected to function. If something has a different form, then it very likely has a different function. Why would you expect people from other cultures to be able to excel at things that we as Europeans have developed as part of our culture? There's no reason why we would be expecting them to be able to excel at it at all if it's not something that they have developed for themselves. I mean, when you look at things like music, I mean, blacks are very musical. But the music they make is it has the accent put on the offbeat to where we put the accent in European music. We will have it on the first beat and the third beat, and they will have it on the second beat and the fourth beat. Their sense of rhythm is slightly different to ours. So blacks have different ways of doing things to the ways that white people do things. And that's just a fact. But what we try to do is pretend that isn't the case, and that it must be that white people are causing these problems. And that's what this teacher is doing. That's why he's saying it's white supremacy. He's saying this is a bad thing. Expecting these pupils to sit still and concentrate, this is a bad thing. But then the problem is, well, if they're not going to sit still and they're not going to concentrate, then how are they going to get themselves up to a standard where they can be integrated in with European civilization? That they're not going to do very well. If they're not going to do very well at school, then they're not going to do very well at work. And when that happens, they don't get employed. And then when they don't get employed, of course, they say, well, because we're getting employed at a much lower rate than white people are, it must be down to racism. And it's not racism. We can see here it goes back to a difference in the way that children are able to learn and whether they're able to sit still and learn. And as I've already pointed out, the solution to this is to just segregate classrooms. Just go back to segregation. Is it really that terrible to have to be among your own people? I mean, it's effectively being among your own family. Is it that awful to be with your family instead of being with somebody else's family? I would suggest it's the most conducive way to live, is actually with your extended family instead of trying to all live together with lots of other people's families. Getting back to this article here, conservative author Bridget Gabrielle shared the clip with the caption, "Fire this teacher." And Max Lugavere, also an author, shared it with the caption, "This is actual racism and condescending to people of colour." And again, here is another problem, because we're told that black people cannot be racist because blacks don't have any power. And yet what we actually see is that there is discrimination against white people on the basis of their race. We learned last week that half an orchestra was sacked because they were white, and the orchestra wanted to promote diversity. So they got rid of half the white people in the orchestra, which is discrimination against white people. But we're told that that isn't actually racism. So if that isn't racism, we have to call it something else. And what we should call it is anti-white, because that's what this is. When this teacher talks here about we need to get whiteness out of the centre, and we hear other academics talking about eliminating whiteness, they're talking about getting rid of our identity as white people. And that is being anti-white, isn't it? That's the definition of being anti-white, is to say that you want to get rid of whiteness. So if we can't call it racism, we can call it being anti-white. And that is what these authors here, these critics, should be saying. They should be saying it's anti-white, rather than saying that it's racism. And also because the teacher that's doing this is white. So how can a white person be racist to other whites? He's not. He's being anti-white. Blogger Ian Miles Cheong shared the video with the caption, "Where does he teach? Do the parents know?" And Twitter user Jovon, a black athlete and alumnus from Florida A&M University, tweeted the clip with the caption, "We are at the most comfortable period in human history." I think we're at the end of our civilization. That's the period that we are at in human history. We are at the collapse of Western civilization, the same as all the civilizations of the past have collapsed, and it's been similar reasons why they have collapsed. It's been multiculturalism that caused the collapse of all of these civilizations. We can go back right back to the first ones in Sumer and learn about that. And we are in our Patriotic History series, which we have every Friday here at Radio Albion. We look back at the ancient civilizations and the parallels that there were back then to what is going on today. In another video of Thompson shared by Libs of TikTok, which yielded 23,500 views, he asserts that police brutality is directly connected to education. He says, "I want to remind educators that instances of police brutality and the murders of black and brown people by police officers is directly connected to the work that we do. Because if any of those people had been white, the chances are they wouldn't have been murdered." Well, it's not because people are white or black that they end up being killed by police, is it? The police don't set out to kill the people that they are arresting. What happens is people resist arrest, and then the police officer has to try and contain the threat. And statistically, black people are far more likely to try and resist arrest. And that's when these unfortunate incidents occur, when people end up getting killed in America. And why is it that black people resist arrest against the police? Well, it's because they read things like this that claim that the police are out there trying to murder black people. And that's why black people resist arrest. They think that the police are about to kill them. And why is it they think that? Well, it's because the journalists tell them that. It's because the fake news tell them that. And this teacher here is just repeating it. That's what's happening. He says the chances are they wouldn't have been brutalized if they had been white. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at all the instances of white people, especially white men, who oftentimes are brandishing weapons and who were taken into custody alive. The fact of the matter is, when Black Lives Matter talk about these black people that have been killed, it does turn out that they were resisting arrest. And the one and only time, I think, that the police have actually been found guilty of murdering someone was with George Floyd. And I think that was down to public pressure, because when you look at the video, it's quite obvious that he was suffering from a drug overdose when he was back in the shop, when he was handing over the $20 bill, the fake $20 bill. And he was trying to resist arrest. He was wriggling out of the car. He was saying that he wanted to lie on the ground. He didn't want to get in the car. All sorts of things. Perhaps the hole on the neck or on the shoulder or whatever it was, perhaps that wasn't very wise, and that may have led to George Floyd, well, it may have made his overdose worse and may have led to his death, but I certainly don't think that was murder. It was public pressure. And the Black Lives Matter were saying, if we don't get the verdict we want, we're going to go rioting and we're going to go crazy again. And they did. They did billions of dollars worth of damage that summer, setting fire to cities because this had happened. So you have to look at the statistics and you have to look at these videos where we're told that a black man has been killed by a racist white police officer. You have to look at the video and every time it turns out that they are resisting arrest. This teacher here, he continues, much of this is wrapped up in implicit bias, and we have incredible power to change people's biases when they are young. We have to talk about these issues in school because every bit of it impacts our work, the ways in which we teach, the ways we interact with students, the practices and policies we have, the way in which they are implemented. There is so much, and many of us are talking about this, many of us are advocating for these changes, but not enough of us are. So what are these changes that he's trying to do? I mean, he's trying to tell white people that they are supremacist if they expect black people to sit still, if they expect them to be disciplined, expect them to learn. And so what he's effectively saying is that black people are different to whites, aren't he? He's saying they're not capable of doing these things, but he's wrapping it up in the way that he's attacking whites for that, whereas that's not what we do here at Radio Albion. We say that the different ethnicities are different, and that's why there are different life outcomes, and that's why there are different behaviour patterns, which it's very easy to see. And we say that these different behaviour patterns are caused by the fact that they are different people. They are not caused by white people oppressing them. I mean, just look at what this teacher here is doing, this white teacher. He's doing everything he can to blame white people for this and make exceptions for black people. And that is the same on the television, in the establishment, in the government. We have all these diversity quotas. We have these speech laws that effectively tie one hand behind our backs when we're discussing these subjects. And all of that shows that white people are not being white supremacist. We are not being racist. We are doing everything we can to help the other ethnicities. And we're doing the same here at Radio Albion. We're just doing it in a different way. What the policies that we advocate for are not just beneficial for us as white people, but they're beneficial for all these other ethnicities as well. Now, Thompson's videos came after two teachers in California faced a backlash for politicizing their classrooms earlier this month. In one case, an Orange County teacher was fired after admitting on TikTok that she hid her classroom's American flag and told students to say the pledge to a pride flag instead. So she's basically adding her politics in there, isn't she? Gay pride is a left-wing idea. We now have conservatives and Republicans that are all getting on board with this. But it's not a conservative idea. It's not a traditionalist idea. It's a very modern idea that homosexuality should be flaunted on the streets and that children should be taught to wave flags supportive of homosexuality. And this is in an American classroom where students are expected to stand up for the flag and to pay respect for the American flag. And she's basically hidden it, and she's put this pride flag there instead and told the students that they have to salute that and take the pledge to homosexuals instead of to their country. In another, a Sacramento teacher displayed an Antifa flag and a Mao Zedong flag in his classroom and suggested that students were fascists if it made them feel uncomfortable. And we discussed that one on a Daily Nationalist on a Friday, myself and Grandpa Dan. Also, yes, I should say thank you very much to Grandpa Dan for covering for me last Friday, talking about the false flag rallies. I do very much appreciate that and recommend people listen to it. Getting back here, Kristin Pitson of Newport Mesa School District in Orange County said in her viral video, "My room does not have a flag," before whispering to the camera, "because it made me uncomfortable." So she's not comfortable with the flag of her own country. And yet she's there teaching the students. So of course the students are going to grow up to be anti-American, aren't they? They're going to grow up to be anti-white. And that's why we have all these problems. It goes from the university to the teachers, from the teachers to the students. It's throughout our whole society, this anti-white idea. It's only us in the alternative media that are challenging it. She continued, "In the meantime, I tell this kid we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to." And he like looks around and goes, "Oh, that one," and pointed to the pride flag. She added of the American flag that she packed it away but doesn't know where, laughing in a way that implied otherwise. "And I haven't found it yet," Pitson added, as she put her hand over her mouth to stifle another laugh. So she's obviously doing this safe in the knowledge that most of the other teachers that are looking at this are supportive of what she's doing. She wouldn't be doing this if she thought that she was going to be socially shamed for this behavior. What this shows is how common this is. Children are being indoctrinated with these left-wing political ideas at a very young age by teachers who are supposed to be unbiased. And this isn't just going on in America, of course. This is going on in Britain too. She has since been removed from the classroom and placed on administrative leave. Meanwhile, AP government teacher Gabriel Guype of Indicombe High School in Sacramento was put on unpaid leave and will be fired by the school district for clear violations of political activity after he was caught on video being interviewed by Project Veritas, an alternative media group, over his use of an Antifa flag in his classroom. This is the one that we discussed. He said, "I have an Antifa flag on my wall, and a student complained about that. He said it made him feel uncomfortable. Well, this Antifa flag is meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable. So if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you." And he continued, "I have 180 days to turn these students into revolutionaries." So he's effectively calling his student a fascist there, for saying that he feels uncomfortable seeing this flag up on the wall that is associated with extreme violence and burning cities down. The teacher also had posters of Chinese Communist Party leader Mao Zedong in the classroom, had stamps with images of Joseph Stalin, Fidel Castro and Kim Jong-un to mark students' schoolwork, and had offered extra credit to students who attended protests, the New York Post reports. So what we can see here is that children today are not being given a rounded education. They're being given an extreme left-wing education. And when they point out that they're not happy about this and they feel uncomfortable by this, of course, the teachers will call in an organization like Prevent and say that this pupil is espousing far-right ideas and things like that. And the pupil will have that then on his record. They will also be taught to hate their ancestors. They'll also be told that they are the ones that are the reason why the black pupils are being disruptive in class, and it's their fault. And the only way to really change this is to homeschool your children. But of course, that's very difficult to do unless you have a large group of you that are wanting to do this. I guess the only other thing that people can do is take an interest in your children at school and their schoolwork. Take an interest in what they are learning. And if you see anything that you feel uncomfortable with, if your child is being taught something that you would rather he was not taught, then take that to the school. Complain about it. The school should only be teaching your children things that you want your children to be taught. And if they say, well, it's a legal matter, we have to teach them this, then register your objection. The more parents that register objections to unacceptable things that are being taught to their children, the better. So we've learned two things here today, really. We've learned about the differences between the ethnicities, and that there is a difference in the way that pupils learn, and that one size fits all approach does not work. and that white people are being blamed for the fact that black children find it more difficult to sit still and not fidget. And the second thing that we've learned today is that this indoctrination, this left-wing indoctrination of school children is absolutely rife, and not just in Britain, but in America and all over Europe too. And of course, the best way to deal with this is to homeschool your children. But if you're not able to do that, then just put a complaint in. Register an objection to what is being taught your children if you do not approve of it. The schools should only be teaching the children things that you yourself want your children to be taught. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.